Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our weekly Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, up here. Down below me, Rocco Miller. Off to the side, we got David Griggs and John Stalica. And this is our Under the Radar podcast. And David, while I dread asking you anything in most of these shows, can you tell everybody who's not familiar with it what it means to be under the radar?
Well, you know, we had, I think, three games that featured top 10 teams and one that featured top four teams. Tonight, we're not talking about any of that. And thank God, because if you watched any of those three games, I don't want to talk about them. They were all awful. But essentially, under the radar is the 22 regular single bid leagues. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't get multiple bids. It just means that normally they do not. So the 10 it does not include are the Power Five. That's the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac 12, along with five other regular multi bid leagues, the Big East, the American, the Mountain West, the West Coast Conference, and I always forget, the Atlantic 10. And so it's everybody else. The other disqualifier, and it applies to no one currently and may not at any point, is that if a team's ranked in the AP or coaches poll, one of the two main human polls, then they're also not considered under the radar.
Okay, and this is our Under the Radar show, so we're going to be going over all of those 22 conferences. So games like the one that just finished up right now with the battle for the real HU between Howard and Hampton, that type of game counts, right?
Yeah.
But getting right into stuff for tonight, what we like to do is pull up, what we actually have to do is do a feature conference every week. And I like to surprise you guys by not telling you what conference it is in advance.
We never know.
And we had something happen last night involving the city of Chicago that hadn't happened in several years, and I'm not talking about DePaul.
Well, yeah, I mean, that they're on the radar, Chad. We can't, you're going to have to pick a different conference. We can't talk about the Big East.
We can talk, though, about Chicago State.
I'm not sure we can talk about Chicago State either, because they've been off the radar, it seems,
their existence. Yeah, not just under.
We're welcoming them back to under the radar instead of off the radar, I think. Last night, Chicago State went to SIU Edwardsville, the first time in almost 3 years, picked up a D1 road win. You see the game right down there, 89-81. But I figure that's a good enough reason to make the WAC our feature conference. And Rocco, let me start with you here. Whether it be Chicago State or maybe New Mexico State, what have your thoughts been so far on the WAC?
I think the WAC's been mostly disappointing. I mean, this is a really great week to talk about the WAC, because I think it's the first week we can really speak pretty positively about the league. Chicago State, as Chad, I think all of Twitter found out because of you, how incredible that feat was for them to finally get a road win. And then
nothing else with Chicago basketball last night. Absolutely not.
Not at all. And then, you know, New Mexico State, like you mentioned, they had a rematch with UTEP. They got them in Las Cruces. What a great game that was. Came down to the last possession, a three-pointer, just went off the glass, pretty far off by UTEP, and New Mexico State held on to get a big-time three-point win. They also played a lot better down in their tournament. So I think the Aggies are starting to get their health back, and I think they're going to be a tough out. They probably missed out on their chance to get in that large bid this year, but I think they should dominate this league. Outside of that, you've got another game that took place that I took notes on. The Texas Rio Grande Valley Vaqueros, double overtime win over Sam Houston State. Quite a game. Leslie Varner of UTRGV had 33 points, 13 boards. The game was back and forth for a long time. So anyway, great week for the WAC. Good week to talk about.
And Dave, yeah. one more big game in the WAC last night, the Battle of Riverside, one of our favorite rivalries.
Sir.
That we believe is way more heated than it really is.
Well, it is heated. Riverside can't take it, but California Baptist, don't call them Cal Baptist anymore.
We've updated the screen here. That's just California.
And I'd like to thank whoever that guy was that corrected
their SID.
SID. Explaining that for marketing purposes, they would like to be called California Baptist. That's a few too many syllables. I think I might just revert to calling them, CBU, like I do SFA. I just, you know, but real nice win for them. And a lot going on here, Chad. I'm glad that you picked this league because it is, I mean, not that I don't love all the leagues, but some you kind of get more attached to than others. I really like the WAC. It has probably a richer history than the vast majority of under the radar leagues. It wasn't always under the radar. In fact, it was very, very much a power league at one point. Utah was a part of this league. BYU's been in it. Had teams in the Final Four, teams in the rankings. The national runner-up 1 year. Realignment sort of gutted it, and it was left in its current format. But it has sort of bounced back to be a healthy under-the-radar league, albeit not this year. I think we were expecting bigger things out of it. New Mexico State has dealt with and is still dealing with injuries. They're supposed to get back to full strength after Christmas, and once they do, I think they're going to be extremely dangerous. But as Rocco pointed out, they're going to win a lot of games, but one of them better be that last WAC tournament game, because I think they've just lost too many already. Grand Canyon, a recent transitional team that's been really successful, although not this year. Utah Valley, we thought we'd see more out of them, only two Div 1 wins. Chicago State did something crazy. They have an entirely new roster. I think only one player is back. They finally get a D1 win. This is a program that has struggled and an institution that has struggled. So it's nice to see some positive light their way. But big fan of this league. Good selection. And I guess I've talked enough. What the hell do you all think about this league?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say another team we should be looking at is going to be the Kansas City Ruse that used to be UMKC but officially rebranded over the summer. One of the better off-season head coaching changes was Billy Donlin, who was dismissed at Wright State a couple years ago. But since he's taken on the job right here, they've gotten off the mat and recently went through a stretch where they won 3 of 4 games, actually finished runner-up in the Island of the Bahamas showcase while they're losing to Liberty. Certainly no shame in that, but also got wins against GW and East Carolina, and also got a home win against Western Illinois recently.
Yeah, it's actually been a solid start so far to the season for Kansas City, all things considered. Although this is their last season in the WAC, I believe. They're going to the Summit League next year.
Yeah, Bakersfield also leaving. So, again, kind of another lineup change here.
Yeah, Bakersfield, the way out, they've got two teams that are going to be transitioning in from D2, Dixie State and Tarleton State. Yeah. Yes, thank you. I got the upcoming schedule here. New Mexico State, Washington State, that's a neutral court game. I'm not that certain where that game is being played. Is that event down in Phoenix on Saturday or – we'll have to double check on that one. Okay. We're well prepared for the show.
That game, I'm sorry, Chad, I do know the answer. Yeah. That game is at the Spokane Arena, an hour and a half north of Wazoo.
Okay. That game is in Spokane, the New Mexico State Washington State game on Saturday. We've also got a few other big games, including, can we get a big rivalry going here, Dave, between Utah Valley and Southern Utah? You know, they're not that far apart, are they?
Right, yeah. Nobody in Utah likes anybody else in Utah, so maybe so.
Yeah, a little bit better than that other Utah game that was played a couple nights ago. Yeah. What was it? BYU played somebody, I think. I don't know what that nonsense was. I guess on that note, let's move back through the rest of the conferences. We'd like to do them in alphabetical order, so which means we'll start off in the America East, where Rocco, another loss for Vermont, and you know, two more losses for Vermont. Although Cincinnati, you can understand, but the Yale loss, another disappointment, I think.
Yeah, and they're getting to the point where they're not even as competitive. You know, Cincinnati, they end up losing by 9, but for parts of the second half, they were down by as many as 22, 23 points. So, and that was, you know, Cumberland got hurt at that point for Cincinnati. I think Vermont has a lot still to work out. A little unfortunate. They brought in some great transfers. Anthony Lamb's an unbelievable player at the college level, and I do think they'll run away with the league once league play starts, but they certainly have some kinks in the armor. That Rider game showed that, and it's carried over to both the Yale and Cincinnati games, and unfortunately for the Catamounts, they're going to be out of the discussions for an at-large berth, but certainly in still pretty good shape to win the auto bid.
Yeah, real disappointing for Vermont. Not that they've lost, but just the way they've looked in their last three games. Two of them in particular, you would expect them to win. And Cincinnati, who had not looked good, now to their credit, they did last night, but had really lost to Bowling Green, sweating out Illinois State, struggling while winning, struggling to beat teams that we did not think were as good as Vermont. So, and Vermont just hasn't looked good since that Virginia game when everybody was sort of all about Vermont. Now, yeah, one of the games they better win better be that last America East tournament game.
Exactly. The upcoming schedule here should be flashed up on the screen in a second now. Vermont, they're hosting Towson on Saturday. Then they've got actually that's the only game they got in the next seven, it looks like, hosting Towson on Saturday.
Yeah,
that Stony Brook at Hofstra game is usually a really good game.
Yeah, that's a big that's a real rivalry as opposed to, you know, our
battle for
the real HU or whatever else we're calling this
now. I would like to bring your attention, because I know that he watches, to this Maine Central Connecticut game. It will not be a very good game, which is why our friend Lee Delvecchio will love every second of it.
Are we sending him?
Sure, why not? We'll get him a credential.
Okay. All right. Let's move over to the A-Sun, where we want to talk about teams that are not disappointing so far. Stalico, let me bring you in here on this Liberty team here, now 10-0, after they beat up on a couple of non-D1 teams this past week, I believe.
Not disappointing, but by the same token, not really tested. We did tease a little earlier that Liberty ended up beating Kansas City down in the Isle of the Bahamas showcase, but other than that, the Flames really aren't going to be tested until about mid-December, when I believe they're going to be going to LSU and Vanderbilt, among a couple stops.
Yeah, both those winnable. Again, like, we like Liberty. We've been ranking them number one or number two really high in our UTR top 10. But it isn't really because of their merit. It's because largely of the supposition. And when you're around a 32 team that returns, I think, six of their top seven players or whatever it was, and they're blowing through their schedule as weak as it is, it's kind of unfortunate that they haven't been tested more, because if they had, I think they would have been able to win a couple of big games. They're coming, but, you know, up until now, they've just been eating off the pastry cart.
Well, Rocco, you know, are they going to get tested sometime soon? And you know,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the month of December looks pretty intriguing. So they're going to be down in Phoenix playing Grand Canyon, a disappointing Grand Canyon team, but it's a long trip. And, you know, that's you can't assume a win there. They're going to have to earn a win. And then the battle at the Capitol, there's some tougher teams, I think, that we originally anticipated playing in that. There's a chance they'll play Akron, who's looking really good in the championship game. If that happens, I think that'll test them. They're also going to go to LSU at the end of the month. So I think every of the five possible games this month are going to challenge the Flames.
Yeah. Well, I think we finally know some answers. They win a few. They could get themselves. They keep winning, David. They can get themselves right off of the show.
Right. Yeah. Which could happen.
Let's keep going right over to the Big Sky Conference, where David, I had a team that I've been fairly impressed with. I mean, only four D1 games. They've won three out of the four. But you know, Sacramento State. You know, is it time to start talking? Their only loss was to Colorado, which is you can't sneeze at.
Yeah, and, like, they were not run off the floor by Colorado. I don't want to claim that it was close, but, I mean, it wasn't a drubbing either. At first, I was just kind of attributing their record more to their schedule than them. But, I'm starting to believe – I still like Montana State a lot. I know that they've kind of hit the skids here recently, but their ceiling
– they got blown out at home by Green Bay, and that was really disappointing after they went and won at Greensboro.
Right, yeah. But no one in this league is, having said that, no one in this league is really exciting me yet either. A couple teams that we thought that would be good, Montana losing to an NAIA team. You know, Weber State, kind of a disappointment so far.
One D1 win.
Yeah, one D1 win. So, you know, is it time to start considering Sacramento State as one of the front runners in this league? Maybe yes, by default. It's been a disappointing year, again, for a lot of the Big Sky.
Yeah, I would say to that, I think there's been some pleasant surprises and, of course, the disappointments that you mentioned. But I think Sacramento State being the number one surprise, that they haven't played the brutalist schedule at this point, but they've been competitive and they've been dominant in the games they're supposed, you know, not even supposed to win the 50-50 games. They went out and dominated to put themselves in this position. And I think Southern Utah plays at a pretty high level in and out from a metric standpoint. I think that is a good sign for their future. I got a chance to watch Eastern play against UW last night. They have a lot of good weapons and were one of the early top two or three picks coming into the season. So I think this is going to be a fascinating race. I'm going to try to get out and see Sacramento State next week when they come to Santa Clara. So keep everybody posted there. But yeah, I think this could be a good race. Weber State, by the way, you know, their best player came back recently, missed the first few games.
Right.
And now he's back, and he actually led them to a big road win over Utah Valley just a few nights ago. Jarek Harding, 36 points, put the team on his back. So they're going to be tough.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Now that they're back at full strength, they might start to look a little bit more like what we thought they would.
Road test coming up this weekend for Sac State at Cal State Fullerton. Not a great Cal State Fullerton team, but it's you know, definitely gives them a bit of a challenge here. We can see what they do out on the road.
Yeah.
Slika, over in the Big South Conference, I don't even know what to say much about this league. You know, High Point finally picked up a victory tonight. Maybe that's what we can say.
High Point finally got a win, but by the same token, Campbell hasn't completely fallen off the map either after the graduation of Chris Clemens. They're continuing to at least win at a somewhat decent clip. Even their JNG is going to be in the top third of all NCAA teams, but UNC Asheville is another team that's traditionally contending, and also one at Charlotte, which is no mean feat this year when you consider teams like Davidson and Wake Forest fell at the Halton Arena.
Well, of course, the big news out of this conference this week, though, Rocco, was out of nowhere, Charleston Southern.
Literally nowhere. like not far away, nowhere. It just You went to Rocco.
Well, they have sub 300 metrics after that win. That shows you how bad they were coming into the game. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know Missouri got knocked with a couple of injuries going into that one, but like this still, I can't make sense of it. I mean, a team in the 300s going to Columbia, Missouri, getting a paycheck, and I mean they were Charleston Southern. I mean, they were really disappointing me. I had them as a dark horse for the Big South this year, and they came out really flat in most of their games coming before this game. So what a roller coaster of a game itself. Charleston Southern jumped out to a 12-3 lead, then got down 28-23 at half, and then took and dominated the second half. So it was a weird game. I think they got the crowd a little upset with Mizzou and almost worked against them. But
yes.
Hats off to the Bucks.
Yes, and we will be featuring Mizzou on this show if they ever lose a game like that.
Yes, but we need a new rule about getting onto this show not as a conference but as an individual team. But yeah, there's the upcoming schedule for the conference. Charleston Southern's next game is a home game against NC Central. See if they can ride that momentum and see if they can come with a big win there. I guess Radford, rest of the games are up there.
Yeah, Radford's got a big one with Greensboro coming to their arena, and Winthrop's going to host a pretty decent Coastal team. I think those
before a road trip out to TCU for Winthrop for next Wednesday.
Yeah,
too, so.
Big week for Winthrop.
Speaking of rivalry games, we already talked about the battle for the real HU, but Hampton's also going to have another crosstown rivalry when they're hosting Norfolk State on Saturday.
Yeah,
that's a crosstown rivalry. By the way, the scores are up there. Howard did pick up the overtime win in that battle for the real HU. So the real HU goes to Washington, D.C. and Howard University. Over in the Big West Conference, Rocco, you're a West Coast guy. So, can you let us know, if we should just kind of wait for January in this league? Because I've been really disappointed in what I've seen out of I thought there'd be a few good teams in this conference.
It's been disappointing, but this is the right week to get excited because some good things happened. I'll start off with our friends from Northridge with Mark Gottfried, starting 0-7 with a very tough schedule, and then beating Fresno State and winning at a kind of a secretive Portland team that was 6-1 on the road. All of a sudden now 2-7 with a couple of eye-opening wins from a West Coast standpoint. So good for CSUN. They're starting to get everything together there. Long Beach State beat Providence in the start of the winning tournament. They didn't do so well after that, but hey, they beat Providence. That's pretty cool for the program. And Hawaii deserves a shout out. They've been playing, I think, above expectations throughout the year, and they got a 10-point win over a really good San Francisco team. So I think those three results or those three teams, what they did last week deserves some credit.
Yeah, and good pointing out that Hawaii win at San Francisco. I was not expecting that to happen, but the bow's looking pretty good.
I think that was actually on the island.
Oh, it was on the island. Okay,
it was at home, but yeah, still.
Okay, well, then that makes a little more. Why did I think it was at Frisco? I was watching it.
Well, San Francisco played everybody else at home this week, so.
Yeah, I must have gotten.
They had to squeeze all their games in this week. Yeah.
Hawaii, John, they've got a trip to Oregon coming up this week, probably a little bit out of their league.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the few bye games that you typically see from Hawaii because you get teams that at least want to get that extra game out in the Hawaiian Islands, not to mention a little bit of a road trip mixed in.
Yeah, this is at Oregon, so this wouldn't be an exempt game, but yeah. Or is it? You have to go to Hawaii to get the exempt.
Yes,
game,
you have to go. You have to go in Hawaii to get to. If you play a game in Hawaii during the regular season, you can play one extra game during your regular season. Which means Hawaii can always play one extra game. But John, let me stick with you here over in the Colonial Athletic Association, where we have one of only a couple undefeated teams left in the among the under the radar conferences, and that is those mighty Fighting Blue Hens of the University of Delaware.
They're only one of 16 remaining undefeated teams overall, much less among under-the-radar teams. But by the same token, Delaware, they haven't really been tested that much. They did have a grinder against Columbia, but Maryland Eastern Shore, not too much difficulty for the Blue Hens in that one.
Yeah, I think it's worth pulling up their profile here. Yeah,
Maryland Eastern Shore single-handedly, like, probably dragging that strength of schedule down by about 50 points.
Oh, it's not much of a schedule here either. Rocker, when you look at this, I mean, they've got, you know, I guess you could say one hand, there are four wins away from home, but still, it's who have they played?
And St. Francis is actually not a bad team to look at either.
Yeah, if you look at the KenPom rankings, I think it's probably the best metric we can use at this stage. We have no net yet. 170 is the best team they've played, Oakland. And out of the 9 victories, 4 of them were single digits against this caliber of competition. So it doesn't necessarily bode well. However, I don't want to take away from an incredible 9-0 start. Chad, I think you're going to be seeing these guys soon, aren't you?
I am. With the big in-state rivalry against Delaware State coming up in a couple weeks, I'm going to be down there covering the game. Just a quick note on these team screens. These team rankings are KenPom rankings. Once the net comes out, we'll update them into becoming net rankings. But those, if you're looking at those,
perfect.
At these team sheets, I am. That's how we have the quadrant separated out and all that right now, because they are based on KenPom ratings. Let's get the screen back here with the standings. I guess we can jump over here. I guess the upcoming
schedule.
Anybody
else we like in this league? Real quick, because if Delaware is sort of like, you know, smoke and mirrors, I got to say, I know that they do have a big Achilles heel, but this William and Mary team is fun to watch.
I didn't think they would do much at all this year. They've been one of the more impressive teams in terms of what I expected versus what they've done.
Yeah, and Hofstra, you know, since losing their opener, got 1-5 out of 7, or 6 out of 8, excuse me. So they're kind of back to where we thought they would be too. Yeah, go ahead on Bill and Mary. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. I was just going to say Nathan Knight. I mean, that guy is incredible. It's, they lost a lot of players last year from the coach being fired, Shaver. They got Knight back, and he is playing like a player of the year between him and Jordan Rowland at Northeastern. I think this is like a 5 to almost 7 dog race the way it's shaping up for the CAA title. It's really going to be about who gets hot and who plays most consistent. I think Northeastern and maybe – Charleston and Hofstra are the most trustworthy historically, but I think it's up for grabs.
I'll tell you, other than Elon, I've still keep an eye on everybody in this conference at this point.
Exactly. Right. I like the league.
Yeah, I just wish the tournament was not at a predetermined site, but what can you do?
They did move the tournament this year, didn't they? Or did they move it out of Charleston?
If they didn't move it to campus sites, they're doing it wrong.
I think it's back in Baltimore this year, Chad.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
If it's a 7-way tie for first, it's probably better than a neutral site.
Well, yeah, if it's a 7-way tie, then we can play it in Baltimore.
John, how about Conference USA?
Yeah, Conference USA, we keep saying Western Kentucky should be the team that's favored, but they keep losing all their showcase games. It was no shame in losing against Louisville, for example, who's now number one, but their loss at Wright State, that's not going to be good for a Hilltoppers team that's looking for possible at-large consideration here.
Just go back very quickly to the Colonial. It's Washington, D.C. where the tournament will be. Just, you know, a little bit of, right near Baltimore, though.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Rocco, you had a thought on them too, on the Conference USA?
At a Conference USA, I mean, I would say, the league, we've got some good stuff happening as we speak.
Yeah, we'll get to that one second.
Yeah.
We've got two good things going off
this
league. Maybe
we should have done another league. Should we pause it
and come back? I mean, I can say I never expected Old Dominion to have a 5-game losing streak, but they do. Yeah. And that's been a big disappointment. I think that's a big story. North Texas has been a little disappointing, but I was really impressed that they got a win at UT Arlington, a pretty good team.
And as we are recording this right now, North Texas is up on Oklahoma late in the game. Louisiana Tech up on Mississippi State by 8 points on the road late in the game. So we may have two big wins out of this conference.
At the end of the night. So, which is kind of, I mean, how about this Louisiana Tech team? I never really was that excited about them, but they kind of jumped out to that 5-2 record and looking really good tonight. A lot of the teams in this league that are looking good, I don't think we expected to. I didn't think UTEP would be that good. I was big on North Texas. They hadn't looked that good, but they are tonight. UAB not looking terrible. But, yeah, Stalika said Western Kentucky should be the favorite. They should be, but they're not. They keep – I mean, they never play up to their ceiling.
That Wright State game really – I mean, the 2-point loss to Wright State on Tuesday night for Western Kentucky, you know, that could have been the game to get them going here, and they couldn't pull it out.
Nice win for Wright State. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, Southern Miss 0-7.
Yeah. Rocco, you had one more thought on the WKU?
Yeah, just on the Bulldogs, actually. So, okay. Louisiana Tech, their only two losses are at Indiana, at Creighton. They in their rotation, they have 5 seniors, 2 juniors, and a freshman. So, a lot of experience on this team. It's a team that I've liked since last year. They've been waiting for that breakthrough win, so we'll see if they can pull this off tonight.
And a few more interesting home games for this conference this week is Western Kentucky is going to be hosting Arkansas. UAB is going to be hosting Memphis coming up this weekend. So a couple games to keep an eye on in this league as they are bringing in power conference teams or major conference teams to their arenas.
Yeah.
You got to get prepared for the curtain. All about preparation.
The greatest spectacle in all of college sports, the Conference USA curtain.
The giant curtain during the Conference USA tournament, yes. David, you mentioned Wright State over in the Horizon League. Let's talk Horizon League. As disappointing as the loss was for Western Kentucky, it was a real nice win for Wright State over WKU this week.
Yeah, it was, and it comes on the heels of a 7-2 record that really could very easily be 9-0. Both their losses, single-digit losses, I think 2 points, both of them, if we can pull up their sheets, to pretty good teams. So as good as Wright State looks on paper, they may be actually better. Scott Nagy doing a fantastic job with that team. And we kind of thought of it as being a two-horse race. So far, Wright State has looked a lot better, in my opinion, than Northern Kentucky. There it is, Kent State and LaSalle. Really no excuse for losing to LaSalle, but still, their two losses, a combined total of 3 points. You mentioned the win against Western Kentucky, going on the road to beat a decent but not great Miami-Ohio team.
Beat them twice, which is impressive.
So, I mean, I'm big on the Raiders. And, looking at their upcoming schedule, the game against Toledo is interesting, but those are a lot of winnable games. I mean, is this team going to win 25-26 by the time it's over?
I think that's interesting. I guess the other problem is here that Rocco, they're not going to have a very good strength of schedule at the end of the day. So they could finish with 2 or 3 losses and be squarely on the bubble, if not out, if they can't get an auto bid.
Yeah, I think you're right, unfortunately. I don't know if – I like what LaSalle is doing, but I don't think that's going to end up – I can't see LaSalle being a top 100 team, for example. Losing to Kent State could be okay. Cause, I mean, Kent State looks awesome so far, but it's a home loss, and it's to a MAC team. And, the net's going to sort this stuff out, I guess, at the end. But there's just not the opportunities there, like you said, Chad.
Yeah, and John, the upcoming schedule for in the Horizon League, Wright State is hosting Indiana State. Then Southern next week.
Yep, and then another team outside of Wright State, Northern Kentucky, to keep an eye on. There's going to be Green Bay. They had a nice performance at Montana State where they scored 98-1, and also were competitive against Xavier for the first 25 minutes of that game. So, relatively speaking, they get a breather at Eastern Illinois on Saturday, but they will have a test on Tuesday at Central Florida.
I was going to say they have another breather Tuesday at Central Florida, but we'll see.
Maybe out by the pool before the game starts.
Ivy League, Rocco, over in the Ivy, Yale is starting to make a little noise here, especially with that Vermont win that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and I think Yale, if you go back and look at their last six performances, I've been extremely impressed. Of course, the Siena game went to triple overtime, so maybe we won't look at that because that probably should have been an easier win.
Should have been a quadrupler.
Yeah.
We haven't had one in a long time.
I remember that.
What is a win?
But when you move forward and look at the last five games, then Penn State game, they had that game won. They had double-digit leads late, really squandered it. But they didn't let that rattle them at all. They went to the tournament. They got two neutral wins by 20-plus against Western Michigan and Bucknell. They dominated Vermont at home. They just went to a tough Albany team, got that win pretty easily. I like the way this Yale team is performing. The loss at San Francisco was an overtime loss. The loss at Gallagher, Iba in Stillwater was a 7-point competitive loss. So they've been in the three losses, they've been in those games, and their road losses to Penn State, Oklahoma State, and San Francisco, those are nothing to be ashamed of. I like the way this Yale resume is coming together.
Well, yeah. Penn State's a bit of a different story because Yale had Penn State dead and buried, but couldn't land the knockout punch in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as far as Yale's upcoming schedule, they've got a couple of tough trips here at Clemson, at North Carolina.
If they get both of those, their resume is going to be looking pretty good.
Can't count them out.
Also hosting the law firm of Johnson & Wales on January 12th. So
that would be the East Coast Johnson & Wales.
Yale, how many road games does Yale play this year?
Upcoming schedule.
Nine in preseason.
Yeah. There's the upcoming schedule in the Ivy League. We mentioned the Yale games already. Brown at St. John's, I guess, might be a tough one for St. John's. Who knows what they played. Let's keep rolling here. David, let me ask you about the Metro Atlantic Conference.
Okay. What would you like to know, Chad?
I would like to know if you should just move on to the next league after this one.
Well, let's give Ryder a few minutes here. I think that they were one of the teams, along with Iona, that we liked coming in. Iona, although not too disappointing is an overstatement, but we thought their ceiling was a little bit higher than what it is, but we're certainly not surprised by the 2-3. But Ryder off to a good start, despite the week schedule. I've kind of like what I've seen out of them. Manhattan overachieving a little bit. I thought they'd be awful. There they are, 3-3. One of the, at least for now, looking like one of the better teams.
Yeah, lost by 20 to Stony Brook. Quick upcoming schedule of the Metro Atlantic, and then we can keep moving here. Ryder is not even playing during the course of the next week, so there's the games. Yeah. But
how about that battle of the Bronx between Manhattan, which is in the Bronx, and Fordham, New York, a very odd place.
I was gonna say we got a couple of Jersey battles here actually, with Monmouth, Princeton, and Fairleigh Dickinson, St. Peter. So
yeah,
pair of big rivalry games here. Rocco, the Mid American Conference, a couple of teams we've been really impressed with. I guess starting at the top here with Kent State.
Kent State, yes, the only game they lost, of course, was in Columbus. A loss that I don't think they can hang their head about at all. It was a tie game, I think, with about 10 minutes to go. Obviously, ended up getting out of hand, losing by 19, but they bounced back from that and beat Stetson by 24 and Detroit by 35. So this is the difference between a Kent State and a Delaware, in my opinion, is that they are dominant against the teams they're supposed to beat. They got a road win at that Wright State team that we just got done talking about. They got a road win at a pesky Towson team at the start of the year. I like this Kent State team a lot. I think they only are going to get one more shot for the knockout punch. Maybe Louisiana Tech's going to steal their thunder, but they're going to go to Mississippi State as well at the end of this month. But I like this team. I think they're a top of the MAC caliber team for sure.
Yeah, and Sleek, let me ask you about we talked about the real team at 7-1. How about the fraudulent 7-1 team in the West Division there, Eastern Michigan? Is there anything there, or is this a pile of non D1 wins and a blowout loss.
Hey, you prefer to look at 7-1, but I prefer to look at the 4-1. Although beating right. Valpo, at least that's a little bit decent. But I think losing at Irvine, not a terrible shock either.
They were let me ask North Texas. So
yeah, let me ask you guys this. I know that you're at least like semi-literate when it comes to power ratings and numbers. When you see Kent State, Akron, and Bowling Green getting those inflated records, and while like they haven't all, you know, they really haven't been knocking off any heavyweights, they haven't all just been home bye game wins either. Like the fact that they're going to be facing each other multiple times, all of them, if one of those three were to run away from the pack,
yeah,
do we see a situation kind of like what we saw with Wofford last year where they play their way inside the bubble? And it's not unheard of. Buffalo, I mean, albeit it was aided by big out-of-conference wins, but we've seen this league get inside the bubble before.
Well, David, I'm looking more at Belmont last year than Wofford last year in that type of scenario. But that, but yeah, I do see that.
But it's also hard to tell early in the season because at 0-0, everything is jumbled. But I'd expect Toledo to be running away from the rest of the teams in the West and also competing with the Kent States, Akron's, and Bowling Green's of the world.
Yeah.
I just don't see enough separation at this stage. I think those four teams that Stalica just mentioned being pretty even and beating each other up. If they do end up, if one of these teams does end up getting a bunch of the wins and sweeps, I don't see it being very convincing, which, you know, the net will take into account. So we'll see. But I think the resume could get pretty good, especially if it's like a Kent State. But we'll see.
There's the upcoming schedule on the screen. Nothing really of note in this league in terms of any huge games coming up this week. But, you know, a couple of these teams, you want to keep picking up wins if you're somebody like an Akron or a Kent State or a Bowling Green.
But also keep an eye on Buffalo visiting DePaul on Sunday. The Bulls, not what they were last year, but they've slowly started to get better, including their run down in Charleston, where I believe they finished, I think it was fifth or sixth. One of the two.
Yeah,
Rocco, I gotta go to you for the next conference, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, because we were chatting a little bit on Twitter earlier tonight about Coppin State. And I know you want to do it. We promised our Twitter followers we'd do some Coppin State news and notes tonight.
Absolutely, and Coppin State themselves reached out and retweeted us, so I think they're excited to watch this part of the show.
I missed all of this.
So Juan Dixon, you know, took over the team.
I want to say a lot of the guys stuff you had to
that
Rocco.
Guy what he thinks of Coppin State.
Yeah. So Coppin State, you know.
Hey, wait, you promised Coppin State we'd talk about them. We are doing it. All right. I hope they're enjoying this.
All right, so Coppin State, like, just to be, you know, let's clean this up a little bit. Juan Dixon took over. Didn't see any obvious signs the last couple of years. He stuck with the program. The program stuck with him. And now, as Chad pointed out, caught my mistake.
Right side up there.
Yeah, they only have the one blowout loss to Virginia Tech. These guys have gone everywhere. They've gone to Chicago, Blacksburg, DeKalb, Illinois. They've gone to NKU. They've gone to Stockton, California. They've been to Montana. They've been to James Madison, and then they've been to East Carolina, and they've won three of those road games. Not to mention beating Cornell at home in overtime. So it's obviously things are coming together very nicely. They've got some talent in place. Clearly, and now watch out, Davidson. They're coming for you on Tuesday.
A trip to Davidson, a crosstown rivalry there, UMBC, at Miami, at Mount St. Mary's, another local rivalry that they got. Other than that Miami game, they got games that they might be in here too.
Yes,
the rest of the way until we get to MEAC play. And so, I mean, I think this makes them the MEAC favorite, just what I've seen, and maybe to run away with this conference even.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Bethune-Cookman showed some really good things when they played Georgia Tech tight, right. and they won that little tournament down in San Antonio. But yeah, I would say Coppin State, just based on what we know right now, I would put them as the favorite.
Yeah, Bethune-Cookman with a tough loss in their local rivalry against Stetson on Tuesday night. They lost by 5 in that game. Upcoming schedule in the MEAC, there's not much we could normally talk about at this time of year other than that Coppin State-Davidson game.
Yeah.
But, John, let me go to you.
Wait a minute. We have to stop here. We mentioned Christendom a couple weeks ago, I think taking on VMI, but now I guess the whole school is going to be taking on, who is it, NC Central.
All right.
Anyway, Northern Iowa, Chet.
Yes, Northern Iowa. Just for that, I'm going to, David, I'll go for you with Northern Iowa. So Northern Iowa, only one loss of the season, looking really good, I think.
Looking really good, and looking good in the game that they lost, and you really hate for them that they lost it against a pretty good West Virginia team because, you know, as good as they've looked, they need the win like that on their resume to help keep them on the right side of the bubble. Not getting it, but getting all of the other wins. How about Drake? Now, I realize that we're talking about not the toughest schedule, but this was a team that, I don't think we were too excited about. At least I wasn't, and off to a really good start.
Yeah, they are there. Drake, you know, they lost to Cincinnati, they lost to Miami of Ohio, but they won the rest of their games. Murray State win, not looking as good as it thought it was going to be when they played that game. But again, Northern Iowa, though, the win over South Carolina, road win at Northern Illinois, and just one close loss at West Virginia. Very impressed by this UNI team.
Yeah, that game down in that tournament, had they won that and gotten a shot at Wichita State, that would have – I mean, sometimes when you're in those exempt events as an under-the-radar team, those games are so pivotal. Because imagine had they won that and gotten a crack at Wichita State. I mean, then what's their resume looking
well,
like?
Well, the big thing with Northern Iowa, though, is what's coming up here on next Tuesday night, I believe it is, with a trip out to Colorado and Rocco. I think it's a game they can win.
I think so, too. I think they'll be competitive. Colorado, really nice team, really experienced team, of course, but they're not the kind of team that can blow out Northern Iowa, I wouldn't expect, unless the altitude just totally gets to the Panthers. But I like this Northern Iowa team. Just like you guys said, I echo your sentiments.
And, John, the upcoming schedule in the Missouri Valley, we already mentioned what Northern Iowa's got. Is there any other games that you're really circling here?
Locally, I'd be looking at Evansville hosting Mother Miami, but shouldn't be too much of a game right there.
All right, well, John, let me stick with you then as we jump over to I think we're up to the Northeast Conference, if I'm correct, where – it's one of those leagues that we love come January and we just kind of suffer through this time of year.
I'll admit, when I was doing my bracket on Monday, I was considering putting a note saying I would have put Mary Mac in if not for their transition up to D1. But yeah. I still think St. Francis PA has been playing the most consistently as far as November goes. And they had a pretty big win at St. Joe's the other day.
And a nice win over Lehigh also this week. So it was actually a real nice week for SFPA. But the upcoming schedule here real quick in the conference, again, this is that time of year where we just kind of get through it here. But they're at UMBC. Yeah. What's Merrimack got this week? They're hosting Army.
Right. Chad, this conference is out to 11 teams, I think. Mm-hmm. What would you feel about doing something radical and just going to a 30-game conference format? I think that would be fantastic.
That I could go for, actually.
it's the whole season.
Yeah, the whole – they play maybe one out-of-conference game if they're in an exempt event.
Rocco, over in the OVC, when you look at the standings here, Belmont is now in the lead. They have they swept, I believe, the Battle of the Boulevard games with their second one over Lipscomb this week, if I'm correct.
Yeah, they had a little scare. I think they were down at half, but they pulled through at the end there to get the 5-point win. I think the Bruins are still pretty solid. Again, they're work in progress with Casey Alexander, you know, taking over from Lipscomb, coming across town to coach Belmont. So I think they get pretty tough by the end of the year. This Tennessee State team continues to be a pretty good story.
I'd like to talk about them a little bit. I saw them in the very first games of the season. They got a guy on the team, Little John is his last name. I don't think he's the rapper. I think he's that's his actual last name. He got the game-winning shot in the win over Lipscomb they had very early in the season. And I think this team might have may have something this year, though. You may agree with me, though, Rocco.
I do, yeah. Michael Littlejohn, he's their best player at this point. They've got a pretty good starting five. It's an interesting one. Three seniors, two freshmen, and then a good mix of juniors and seniors off the bench. So they've got a mix of guys that have either been there or transferred in. They hired Penny Collins last year. He's now a second-year guy, really well-respected guy in the industry from what I understand. And they won the Las Vegas Invitational sub-bracket. But what really impressed me there, was North Florida, I think, is probably your second best A-Sun team. And they got an 8-point win out there in Vegas against them. So really liking how the things are shaped up for the Tigers. Two really intriguing games coming up for them as well, if I can talk about them.
Yeah.
They're gonna host the red hot Chicago State Cougars.
Oh, that's a dangerous game.
That's a field trip game right there.
There we go. And then Little Rock is a team we haven't got to the Sun Belt yet, but a really intriguing sleeper team in Little Rock. They're gonna go head to head in Little Rock on Tuesday. I'm really excited kind of to see how that game goes.
All right. Upcoming schedule here in the OVC. David disappeared on us, so Stalika.
No, I'm here.
We mentioned the Chicago State Tennessee State game. As far as Belmont goes, they've got a very dangerous game. What do you think about Wednesday night against Carson and Newman?
Why do they play games like that? I don't know why they do that.
But how about this Austin Peay at West Virginia game? Austin Peay was a team we liked heading into the season.
Kind of been disappointing so far. I don't know. We might see a decent effort for part of the first half, but it's going to look like what most bye games end up looking like.
Yeah, they're like kind of a one-man team with Terry Taylor, but the supporting cast isn't coming through.
Right.
John, over in the Patriot League, another conference that's great when we get to conference play, but it's kind of been blah this year so far.
Well, we've been talking for Colgate much of the year as a team that was expected to repeat, but Lafayette is also coming out of the weeds. They also get a win at the health spa known as St. Joe's, and they're actually off to a 5-2 start.
I had not known it was known as that.
Upcoming games. There's the upcoming schedule in the league, and let's just talk a little. Let's talk something actually pretty good. Let's talk some SoCon hoops.
Yes,
we can talk about at least three, maybe five teams in this conference. Starting with the game of the week though was UNC Greensboro over the weekend going to Georgetown and picking up the huge win.
Yeah, a lot going on at Georgetown now, but a really, really good win for Greensboro there. And that's the kind of win that, sort of jumps out at the committee. Now, if they're able to hold serve the rest of the way, for the most part, suddenly, are they on the bubble or are they inside of it? I mean, when you talk about what you got to do to get in if you're a UTR team, it is win games like that. Yeah. One of the surprising kind of disappointing results was the loss at South Florida by Furman. Now, I mean, that was just a game. And I know it's on the road and it's never easy to win on the road, but were you kind of like that gave me pause because I thought they would go down there and win without too much trouble at all.
Yeah. So I was on the fence because I think Furman's game before that, I'm trying to remember who they had. They looked a little skeptical.
Can I just interject here that as we record this, Furman's up 10 on the road in the second half.
At
number 14, Auburn. Go ahead, Rocco. Please continue.
Yeah, so that game was Furman participated in Elon's two-day event where they'd play back-to-back days. And on their second day, it was kind of a rough setup for Furman. They played UTA on their first day. So pretty big disadvantage there. We're down to almost the entire game, and Furman hit a shot at the end to win that game with 4 seconds left by 1 point. Fast forward to South Florida. They get recovered from the Elon trip. South Florida's getting some of their pieces back. I think it was just a perfect storm. They didn't play very well. Now we see what they're doing tonight. I think this team, we can all admit, is pretty solid, and they've got some good built-in reasons why they struggled the last two times out. Another interesting thing, too, as David, you were talking about UNC Greensboro, they do have that ugly loss at home to Montana State, but if you guys remember how that game ended, it was like almost a full court heave to lose.
It was three quarters court to win it.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is like if Greensboro holds serve the rest of the way, as David alluded to, I think the committee looks at that and says, you know what, if not for that heave, they win that game. We're not even talking about it. It could be one of those things that's discussed if we get that far.
Right, and they did. I mean, they are aware of that. But, yeah, they hit a shot with what looked to be the game-winning shot with less than 2 seconds to go. All that Montana State could do was a desperation heave, and sometimes it goes in. It went in.
Upcoming schedule for this week in the SoCon, we see that Greensboro is at Radford We see, as we mentioned, Furman, Auburn, as we record this, they're going to be then hosting Upstate. What else do we have going on in this league here? East Tennessee State at North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, Western Carolina's.
Western Carolina very quietly 6-2 overall. I don't think it's going to last, but they're definitely off to a good start for the season.
Yeah,
but they do have a notable head coach, though, and I think it's Mark Prosser, who is the son of the late Skip Prosser.
Yeah.
Correct.
Over in the Southland Conference, home of one team and only one team, the Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks picked up a nice, a 19-point road win at Arkansas State after the win against Duke, and then they blew out Arlington Baptist College by about 5,000 points, but no letdown after the Duke win.
Yeah, no letdown at all. And as big of a story as that was, and it was huge, everybody sort of the next day stopped talking about Stephen F. Austin. Well, they haven't gone out there and been like Evansville. They haven't given you a reason to stop talking about them. 5-1 on the year, a win at Duke. I know that they don't have much in the way of meat the rest of the way, but if they run roughshod over this league, aren't they inside the bubble?
They're inside the bubble for me right now. Another huge one coming tomorrow at Alabama. We'll get to that in a second. But, the reason this is happening and the reason why I don't think it's a fluke is it's the same thing that happened to Duke. It's happened to all their opponents this year. These guys are number one in forcing turnovers. They're playing suffocating defense, and they're creating a lot of easy baskets on the other end. It's a lot of fun to watch. I know most of us probably just tuned in the last 5 minutes of the Duke game. I got a chance to go back and watch a couple of their games now on fast speed, and these guys play a really exciting brand of basketball. Pretty enthused to watch more of their games.
Yeah, and that's not a bad Arkansas State team at all. That was the perfect game for them to go ahead and lose on the road. Instead, they just went out there and they rolled them.
Yeah.
In Alabama, not very good. They should be able to go there and win that one. Okay, timeout. Nichols State is playing who?
Nichols State is playing who?
Carver Bible?
Carver Bible College.
Is that really a college?
Called Carver on Ken Palm, so you got the full name.
Next we got the full name, Carver Bible College. Nichols State, has
well, you know, you can't knock them. They've gone out there and they've lifted their weights.
Now, one of the problems that Cedar Foss is going to have is going to be strength of schedule, because you look here, you've got nine teams without a D1 win yet. Let's move on to the SWAC. Apparently, the screen just flipped on me here. I guess we'll do the SWAC because for some reason it came up here. Now it's the Southland's back. Okay.
SWAC's hungry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll try to get to the SWAC here. Stalika, let me bring in. There it is.
Southwestern
Athletic Conference, which has less teams without a D1 win than the Southland does. But we had an amazing day on Saturday, actually, for the SWAC.
Yep. Usually, it's never a good sign when we're talking about 10 being the benchmark of D1 non-conference wins for them, but Saturday, they actually went a perfect 3-0 thanks to Alabama State actually beating Chicago State down in the undercard portion of the Emerald Coast Classic, and then Texas Southern had a rare home game against Lamar.
A rare home game. It had been, I believe, 15 years since Texas Southern played a home game in the month of November or December against a D1 opponent.
That is remarkable.
It was unbelievable that they that's beyond a rare home game.
I mean, usually we talk about teams like Long Beach State who schedule death marches, but it's nothing compared to what Texas Southern does to get ready for conference play.
But then the even more impressive, Rocco, Prairie View, if you remember, only lost one game, I think, in conference play all year last year. Nice road win at a San Antonio team. We thought it was going to be competitive this year.
Yeah, that was a big win for a SWAC team like Prairie View. They got a nice performance from Gerard Andrus, 20 points off the bench, carried them in that game. And they're going to go down to Arizona State next week. So curious to see how competitive they are down there. But big win.
Probably a little too much we're asking for here. You see a lot of checks are going to be cashed here again this week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to Rust College at Alcorn State, you know, the great Rust.
Texas Southern's having fun. They got another big home game this week.
Yeah.
Concordia, Austin.
There you go.
David, the Summit League.
Yeah.
Where we were big on the Yotes, but I don't know. They lose the game to Northern Arizona over the weekend. Then they, you know, they get trashed by Washington. Of course, it was Washington, but
yeah,
the Northern Arizona lost, really.
They were in that game for a little bit, but only a little bit. But, yeah, kind of coming back down the earth, but it's starting to look like the usual suspects, South Dakota, North Dakota State. If anything, South Dakota State overachieving a little bit. I know that they've been sort of the flagship team the last few years, but we weren't expecting them to be much this year. And Omaha, although only 4-5, has shown some fight as well. But all in all, despite the two losses, South Dakota is still the team that's impressed me the most up to this point.
Yeah, and I'd agree with you there. We'll take a look at the upcoming schedule. South Dakota State at Montana State coming up on later tonight, actually, after we get done on the air here. That gets tipping off right about now. Omaha, Arizona, Denver, UCLA. Let's go to the last conference for the night, which is the Sun Belt. Rocco, I know you wanted to discuss a few of these teams, including those Little Rock Trojans down there in 10th place.
Yeah, you know, when I was growing up, we used to call them the Little Roccos. They had some really good teams in the 80s and 90s, but I'll digress. This Little Rock team, they continue to play hard. They put up some really tough fights. They got a big win to open the year down in Springfield, Missouri, when they beat Missouri State. So they're capable of knocking some of these heavyweights off. They almost took ETSU out last week.
Yeah.
So it's a team that I think's got some staying power. A lot of new parts, a lot of different pieces that came in. But I think they're just going to continue to get better. Definitely a team that adds some meat to the Sun Belt bone, if you will.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting league this year, I think. I think it's another one of these wide-open leagues as well. Stalika, here's the upcoming schedule. We see the Arkansas State team we mentioned is at Tulsa, Little Rock at North Texas, who just a couple quick score updates. We mentioned them. North Texas did lose to Oklahoma at home tonight by a couple points. On the other hand, Louisiana Tech did pick up the road win at Mississippi State. So
if you're looking for another potential upset special, look at South Alabama, who's been off for over a week. They're going to be going to a Richmond team that's only lost one game all year, and that was in Brooklyn against Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn, again, another score update. Auburn down 11 as we record this. Came towards the middle of the second half. So we'll see. Furman going to be making some moves. But speaking about teams, let's go right over to our top 10 list, I think, is where we should go from now. And this is our under-the-radar top 10 list for December 5th. We've got a bunch of honorable mentions, teams that received votes, didn't make the poll, including Bowling Green, Yale, UTEP, Vermont, Sacramento State out of the Big
Charleston side. Southern. Who voted? Okay.
Charleston Southern, thanks to Stalika with that huge win over Missouri, and Eastern Michigan as well with that totally fraudulent 7-1 record. New Mexico State's our number 10 team, still getting some love despite the record. We talked about the whack at the top of the show. Ninth place, we got the Furman team. They might deserve to be about second place if they pull off this win, though. At number 8, we've got Wright State out of the Horizon League.
Ooh, yeah.
Good. Really good. Getting some love in our poll. Number 7, the undefeated Delaware Fighting Blue Hens. Number 1 seed in David's merit rankings. UNC Greensboro coming in at number 6 out of the SoCon. At number 5, we've got Kent State, our top team in the Mid-American Conference. Number 4.
I figured they would at least be above Wright State for now, all things being equal.
Northern Iowa at number 4, which leads us to our top 3 teams. At number 3, we've got East Tennessee State. As of the moment, our favorite team in the SoCon. Again, that could change with the next half an hour or so as when we record this. Number 2, the Lumberjacks of Stephen F. Austin off of that Duke win, off of the Arkansas State win. And I don't think there's any shock that Liberty is the number 1 team in our under-the-radar top 10. On that note, though, I want to run through each of you for any other final thoughts for the night. And Stalika, let me start with you on the final thoughts.
Well, number one, I mean, this is under the radar, but once again, I'm going to be going off the radar. We actually did a podcast regarding the NAIA during the summer, but there was one thing we completely forgot to mention, but we will be making up for that tomorrow, and that is Taylor University, who as an annual tradition of what they call Silent Night, just before they have their final exam week. What happens here is they'll start the game. There's going to be no crowd noise until they score their 10th point. At this point, what'll happen is their students will rush the floor, a timeout will be called, and the game will be stopped. And let's, I think Chad's let's trying take to get a video up.
Let's take a look right now.
This is incredible.
JK, that is Silent Night. Slicka, please go ahead.
I don't have much more to add to that, but I think one among the more notable things that have happened, there's even been one merits proposal that has been accepted in past Silent Nights, but I believe this is going to be either the 16th or the 17th edition coming up.
All right, so keep an eye out for that. I don't know if they're televising it this year. It has been on TV or at least streams in past years. Rocco?
Yeah, I just want to come back to the discussion that we typically have at the end of our shows here on Under the Radar, which is which of these teams are legitimate contenders for at-large bids. I think Stephen of Austin, if we had to decide right now, would clearly be inside the bubble in prime position to maybe even solidify that further tomorrow. It's going to be a good game to watch. Alabama's going to be hungry after the way they performed in the Bahamas. So watch out for that tomorrow. And then, you know, with Louisiana Tech just getting that win, with UNC Greensboro going to Georgetown, with some other SoCon action that's ahead, there's still a lot of opportunity here for these teams to emerge and get into the bubble picture. So let's certainly hope for that, because I think it makes for a really boring season if all 36 at-large bids go to the 10 teams that are covered on Mondays.
Yeah.
The 10 leagues.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to start seeing some of these teams get right up there, if not into the top 25, which we could definitely see with SFA if they pick up this win. David.
I don't really have that much more to add, but just to kind of build on what Rocco had said, it's really hard when you're an under the radar school, and I know I've said this before, to put together a tournament resume, because you essentially have 6 weeks at the beginning of the year to get the wins that will impress the committee, and you normally have to play those games under not equal terms or very unfavorable terms. Like, you're talking about going on the road, sometimes crisscrossing the country, sometimes playing in 4 different states in 8 different days. And if you do get those wins, which those teams do, then the rest of the way you're just trying to not screw it up. You're trying to hold serve and not stub your toe. So it isn't like you have what the on the radar conferences have of, oh, we got this big game, and if we do this, we can improve our profile. The route the rest of the way is trying not to mess up your profile. Now, it can be done. We saw it done last year. We see it done every year, but it is kind of hard. And, you know, I kind of wish that there was some sort of scheduling agreement where late in the year, at the end of the year, some of the better UTR teams could at least play each other to try and build the resume that, you know, if you got five or six,
we could call it bracket busters.
Yeah, but even taking it beyond that to where it's like 2 or 3 games instead of just one. But yeah, the bracket buster was great. It served the main purpose was, you know, back then it was before every game was on television or streamed, and now that every conference has a TV deal, there just isn't anybody left to make it happen. But instead of just for TV and exposure, just doing it for a schedule agreement is a resume builder.
I agree. I would love to see more of these teams playing games like that. And like you said, like towards the end of the season. Yeah. But I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs, John Slicka, Rocco Miller from both bracketeer.org, as well as those guys working around behind Rocco.
Yeah.
Hey, I thank everyone for
trying to bring
us.
You guys into the action.
I'm Chad Sherwood, and we will talk to you again real soon.